Welcome to the Dr. Denise Show. I'm Kathleen O'Toole, and Dr. Denise is here with us today to talk about a very important topic. Denise?
Pandemic addiction.
And you're seeing a lot of this in your practice.
Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. My good friends are like, Denise, alcohol sales are up 60% and we're part of it. So I'm not only just seeing it in my practice, but I'm seeing that everyone's buying a little bit more alcohol these days. And on a real serious note, you know, I've had to make I've done outside appointments to help people that were either suicidal or used LSD for the first time. And I'm mostly doing telehealth, but I've had a couple actual emergencies in my practice where it was really important for this particular situation to have kind of an in-person appointment. So it's real. It's so real for what I'm dealing with on the front lines.
Well, you know, in preparing for this podcast, I talked to two people who I have in my circles. One is a certified addiction professional, and the other, Chris, he is the president of a club here in Palm Beach County that does dozens and dozens and dozens of recovery meetings weekly. In fact, the club does 166 meetings a week. So I kind of went along and tried to, you know, figure out what was happening with the recovery community here where I live in South Florida, just to give, you know, more perspective. But
fantastic. Thank you for doing that. What are they saying?
Well, they have a lot to say, but as I was doing this research, I opened up my paper one morning last week, Friday, and I saw that a local nurse here in town who had struggled with addiction but had been clean was working in the COVID ward, and he relapsed and died of an apparent overdose. And so this is what we're seeing. Like that was the juncture, the intersection of the virus and a very clear point of what struggles we can deal with the isolation, the stress, all the things that we deal with this virus. And this poor man, 32-year-old, and the father said, you know, it was the collision of the drug epidemic and the pandemic. And our hearts, yeah.
You know how I roll. I need to pause. When I hear this information, I am sending love to anyone on this planet that's having any thoughts of suicide, depression, anxiety, unemployment, unknown, stress with their children, addiction issues. This is real for all of us. And I want to send love because, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to leave this planet because of COVID, not just because of COVID, the indirect hit of COVID. And so I just did a very heartfelt video this morning that I posted to my followers and saying, hey, this is real, everyone. And I tagged it to an article that talked about, you know, there could be up to 75,000 deaths indirectly due to addiction and mental health in the very near future because of COVID and the isolation, the unemployment, the boredom. People are needing to sort of face their own inner world. And I can give you tips and tools on that, but I'd be really interested to hear what the professionals in your neck of the woods are saying. And then I can chime in from my professional expertise as well.
Sure. So when everything closed down, so did these recovery meetings. And, you know, that sounds like, well, okay, everything switched to Zoom. And for clients with more access, patients with more access, my friend, the certified addiction professional, saw them go to Zoom and breaking into smaller meetings. But even in that venue, there's not the fellowship that you get from a meeting, from being in the same room and feeling the energy. Especially, she said, when you're in early recovery, because your whole framework of how you're going to march on day after day is really not set. So she says that laying eyes, not through a screen or whatever, but laying eyes on an old timer is super, super important. And, you know, the other associate of mine, who's the president of the board of this charity, he says that for a lot of people, they didn't do virtual. And right. It was super hard because there's a there's a anonymity that these meetings, and they couldn't guarantee it on virtual. They had Zoom bombers and people who were hesitant to go and do it that way because they felt like the exclusivity, the privateness would be gone. And well, so
anyone can record a Zoom.
Precisely. So, the whole thing of a 12-step meeting, he says, is, we're here together, we process it together, and then it stays with this group. And so there was the worry about that. And he said the newcomers are especially impacted because, all of a sudden maybe they don't have a good structure, they decide they need recovery. Well, where do you go? How do you even get invited to a Zoom meeting? You're at home using substances, but you need help. What do you do? So on a normal day, they can walk into a church basement. They can walk into his meeting where there's a meeting for each type of group. There's the moms with young children meeting. There's the old timer, there's all these meetings and you can find your place. But for newcomers struggling with addiction, this is especially hard right now. So and Suzanne, my certified addiction professional, says at the end, typically how these typically end is everybody holds hands and says the Lord's Prayer. And there's a lot of even Chris, he says, there's a lot of backslapping and hugging and some of that physical contact becomes part of your process. He's like, if I'm not at a meeting, at this time of week, then something's wrong. But
yes, I'd like to jump in. So
yes.
Besides the Western understanding of substance use and looking at it as a disease and the same thing with mental health, my passion is bridging science, spirituality, and psychiatry. So on the spiritual side, I just want to echo everything that you're saying. When I was listening carefully, so much of human healing is connection. And using a multisensory approach, which includes voice, includes touch, it includes a sense of community. So everything you just said, when someone is finally ready to say, I want to be sober, making that first step and walking into a meeting is a big spiritual. And when I say spiritual, words are so powerful. Like if you say the word religion or spiritual or psychiatrist, we have immediate thoughts. So I like to say the human spirit, the human connection, whether you believe in God or source or Allah or Buddha or Jesus, or just you believe in being a good person. So when I say spirit, let's talk about the human spirit of connection. And a lot of people turn to substance use because they have maybe dual diagnoses, but some people, it's just a lack of kind of feeling alone in the world. So people have different reasons. Everyone's different, right?
Right.
And for what all the points you just hit on going to a meeting, having a sponsor, listening to someone else, anonymity, creating a sacred space, a private space, those are big challenges right now. We're in a little bit different part now of the pandemic in the sense that we're recording the show on May 28th. I'm going to launch it pretty soon before June 1st, just to keep it more up to date because every week it's a little different with COVID, the COVID rollout, what's open and what's not open.
Right.
So I'm going to get really precise. I'm going to give three quick examples. I have one person that relapsed on heroin who is now in a program. So there are programs available. You just have to sign releases. You have to wear masks. They're doing temperature checks. So for people who are needing an inpatient or kind of a wraparound halfway house, there are solutions, but they're still concerning from a safety standpoint. So everyone needs to make that decision. So I'm proud to say he's now sober now for 3 weeks again, but he had almost 2 years of sobriety and then had a relapse a little bit before COVID. We're finding out there was some untruths. And then I have someone that I'm proud to say is sober off heroin for 45 days. I have someone that I'm so proud of. He's been sober for almost 2.5 years off heroin, just to give you guys some hope. And then I've had some people where it's almost like COVID and being with their family pushed them to the limits, the combination of distance learning, parents working from home. It's like a pressure cooker. Increased yelling, domestic violence. So one can say, whoa, maybe someone's going to end up getting sober because of the pandemic, right? So because they reached their maximum rock bottom being locked up. Right. So I think that there's all different scenarios. And I think that I'd be interested to hear anything else the professionals in your area shared.
So to that point, we talked about, for some people, it's too much togetherness. And for other people, it's too much isolation. So here's a man who's like, my kids are here, my wife, it's such a stressor. And he said, if anything is going to lead me to relapse, it's this. This is from one of the addiction professionals. Meantime, isolation really plays a role. They say, if you're a lone drinker or you're an out and about drinker, and what did he say? He said, sorry, I'm finding my notes.
Well, I want to say
addiction is really a lonely disease, a disease of loneliness. And yes. it drives you into your hovel to hide from the world. It's
yes.
a disease of isolation. And Suzanne, my certified addiction professional, she said, one of her clients was like, oh my gosh, I can have alcohol delivered to my house. And he was supposed to start what's a rigorous, very structured time of his year. I don't want to say anything more to identify him. And instead he's like, I can get alcohol delivered to my house. This help, because of the rules here in Florida, at least that's how it went. You could get takeout and get two margaritas to go. And Suzanne was like, why are we doing this? Why are we making it like that? Having to go to the store, there's some accountability. Someone with the too much togetherness says, I'll never complain again about any of this. So
I want to chime in because I also want to just always balance things. Even this week, I've had people that are so happy with the pandemic. Like there was this one girl, her sensory style, she was the happiest I've ever seen her. So some people are feeling lonely. Some people are feeling overcrowded. But in that same household, her face looks so happy. Her mom's an attorney and her mom gets to work from home. And she's like, oh my gosh, this is the most time I've ever spent with my kids.
Oh, wow.
So some people are like nesting and loving this pandemic. So I think it's really interesting. This goes with that neurostyle concept that we all process and perceive information in our own unique way. So we all have biological, psychological, social, cultural, and spiritual styles.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need to be aware of what those are. So if people are feeling alone and maybe they're on the brink of substance use versus abuse versus addiction, I think what the pandemic's also done is if people have been mostly staying at home, they don't have to get in the car to be responsible. So people are cracking open drinks earlier. And so I just think this is such an important time for society to reach out to one another. I just did a video saying, hey, if you know someone that's depressed or sad or substance use, make sure you reach out and just say hello to them and help them to feel connected and to feel loved.
Well, to that end, my friend Suzanne said that she has a close girlfriend. It's her girlfriend, not a client. And she said the girlfriend reached out and said, I'm seeing all these Facebook jokes and all this, but I'm worried that, I've never really considered myself having a problem before, but am I? And so that being able to reach out, she gets a certified, addiction specialist and, but even just reaching out to anyone who is close to you and being able to talk to them about your worries and concerns about your substance abuse or substance use, is it too much? I think that takes away the isolation and must help the situation.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's really important for sort of mental health and physical health is having a balanced lifestyle. So if spiritually someone's feeling alone during the pandemic, I'm finding myself that creativity is where you access being your own best friend or your own higher self. And a lot of times when people are going through addiction programs or mental health programs, part of the day is learning how to practice mindfulness, meditation, and that can be through fitness, through artwork, through music. Any point of the day can feel like it's joyful and you're connecting with something that doesn't make you feel as alone. And so I even, right before I did this show, and I'm going to post it, I took a picture of me smiling with my podcast, you know, get up on, because this is, makes me really happy during the pandemic. Like, right. I'm like, yay, I get to talk to Kathleen. And so I'm really aware that this is a good balance for me because, you know, later on I have a patient that's in crisis. I have my son. He had a very successful Zoom school. So I'm feeling really good. My voice might even sound relieved, right? And so we're all experiencing our day in this stay at home slash start to go out into the world, or maybe for essential workers differently. So, I mean, I think it's just so important. And I think that one thing that's a little bit concerning for me is I think COVID is very real. You know, I'm sending so much love to the, you know, we're now at over 100,000 deaths here, I believe, in the United States.
Right.
And I'm sending so much love to all the people, though, that have died this year from heroin overdose, from depression, from suicide, from maybe not getting to their doctor's appointment now or getting the treatment they need. And the reason why I bring this up is, as a society, we're faced with opening up the economy in a safe way where we monitor fevers, we do symptoms, we figure out if we can get COVID tested. And I think we need to focus on universal health in all angles. And I think the addiction, the pandemic addiction discussion today also speaks that we need to get back in front of people, right? And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do telehealth as much as I can, but I'm doing this opportunity like I did when I saw someone in person last night emergently. I'm going to bring my lawn chair to people's like backyards or driveways.
You're amazing.
Because I don't know if I can keep my office as sterile as it needs to be. And I know some people think we're going to have a second wave of corona. Some people don't, but I'm just trying to like do the best I can. And I think that's what we all need to do. I mean, what did that, is there anything else that those professionals shared in your neck of the woods?
In terms of wellness, I asked both of them this question. I said, okay, I know a lot of staying, you know, recovery and a recovery path is about stress relief and stress reducing activities. And here and where you are, you know, the beaches were closed. You could not physically walk on the beach. Right. And I know for some people it's paramount that they get to the beach here and see the sunrise every morning. And that's part of their mindfulness, their mind medicine, or it's feeling the sand between their toes, the energy from the earth. And swimming, you know, all our, you know, you had to have a private pool in your backyard to be able to swim. They shut everything down and they're still kind of shut here in my neck of the woods in Florida. And so I said, is it overblown? Like, you know, people who are on the recovery journey, they have their own ways of dealing with stress. Is it overblown to say taking these things away is really, really detrimental? And they're like, no, it is not overblown. That, you know, this is crucial. And with 12, like Suzanne told me a story about a client 12 years sober, and there's only so much you can reach out for stress reduction. You need to do your, maybe it's your morning yoga class or, you know, this kind of burning off the stress. So what the gentleman told me is like stress, you know, if you have a good program in place and you're kind of on your journey, you can deal with it. Sometimes the stress is usually, he says, like the last straw type of thing. So for instance, if you have been not really going to your meetings anymore and you've replaced it with like, you're a gym rat now, right? You're getting your stress reduction, and then something happens and you stop calling your sponsor and you get busy at work. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have an accident, your boyfriend breaks up with you, and then boom, you know. So what he's trying to say is that you can't just with exercise alone stave off your addiction, that for many people, you have to have this kind of fellowship and community with one another. So
absolutely. So a couple things. Number one, I shared, I think I've been interviewed on a couple shows. I not only, you know, help people with dual diagnosis, but my father got sober when I was 11 years old. So I went to those Alateen meetings.
Right.
He was getting sober. And so I feel like a bit of a personal experience helps with this too. And I think shame is one of the big things that people need to face when they're dealing with addiction. So what comes to mind while we're rolling out this pandemic and having safe ways to have AA meetings and NA meetings is that you could contact, and I have the number right here. I put it on my list. There's, I think it's important. Like, let's say you're listening to this and you're like, where do I go?
Right.
And so there is SAMHSA. Let me give you that number, everyone. It's really important. Here's the number right here. It is a hotline. So it's 1-800-662-4357. And I'll include this in the blog post. And I'll probably go ahead and just repost everything I did about COVID and I'll put the information. But what's really important is locally that you reach out and find out where the meetings are. And then a lot of times, Kathleen, if someone can't go in person, they might meet someone that's the head of the meeting. And what I was thinking is maybe they'd feel more comfortable doing a FaceTime meeting initially just with one other person, because it's a really big deal to be brave to walk into a meeting.
Yeah.
It's a big, big deal. And so I think we need to have creative sobriety solutions. And then everyone needs to look at like their own fitness level, or like the pool here. I don't know if they're going to open it or not. They're looking at the liability that the mayor gave the go that it's a yes. But then they're like, how do we, since it's a community pool, touching things, there's such mixed data. So yeah. Swimming and surfing, I know there's different parts of the world where people don't have these options. But if someone's serenity is surfing or swimming and now they can do it, that's great. But you're right. The sense of in-person community is really important. And then the other thing that a lot of people miss is a lot of times, besides the spiritual loneliness, there's an underlying diagnosis of depression, ADD, anxiety, bipolar, PTSD. And so I find that you need to use all the tools in the toolbox to reach sobriety.
Right.
And I had another thing that I'm very fortunate during this pandemic, people, you know, reached out to me on LinkedIn. I'll put this in the blog post. This Dr. Austin Harris that I interviewed knows the use of ketamine. So if people have treatment resistant addiction or mental health issues, sometimes there's an issue with your postsynaptic neurotransmitters. And so it's really important. A lot of times people think there's only one thing you need to do to stay sober, but you really need to take a holistic health approach and look at biological, psychological, social, cultural, and spiritual. Sometimes you might meet one person and the pendulum is, oh, don't go to Western medicine, or oh, don't go to Eastern medicine. And everyone needs to remember, this is super important, that we are our own healers. So even if you call a substance abuse counselor, a doctor, a dear friend, a priest, a spiritual leader, remember, you're the one that's making the choice to do that. You've got to find the strength within to want your sobriety, to want your mental health. A lot of times people give too much power to external authority. And I always coach or guide the clients and patients that come to see me, like, hey, you made the decision. What did you do? So that they come from a sense of empowerment.
Right.
Because I think sometimes when you're addicted, it's like you're really having an affair with the substance. It's almost like you could put a wig on the bottle or the joint or whatever it is, and you've lost your own power. So a big part of deciding to be sober or deciding to cut back on substances and choose health is to feel empowered instead of disempowered.
Wow, those are inspiring words. And they really treat the whole mind, body, spiritual connection. You know, there's a big recovery community here in South Florida where I'm at. This county is kind of known for it. And throughout all this, I'm told that the treatment centers are in full swing. Another point is that usually these treatment centers get like really busy in January. You know how after the holidays, people say to themselves, okay, I'm taking ownership, I need help. And I'm talking about in treatment facilities. And so they get kind of like the gyms get full in January, right?
Right. Well,
Suzanne predicts that once this kind of eases up, that there's going to be another like this kind of similar kind of pulse where people just flood in treatment facilities to get the help they need. And you know, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. And actually, if you're looking in the mirror and going, wait, I'm choosing too much of this substance, and you're ready to talk with someone you love, don't be afraid, reach out. Because I think one of the first levels of acceptance is getting rid of the shame and saying it's okay to be healthy. Because a lot of people do pre-contemplation for a while, just like they do, like you mentioned, with the New Year's resolutions, or when the pandemic's over, I'm going to do this. Or some people are just like, fuck it. You know, this is an Armageddon and contagion. And they're just like partying like rock stars, like it doesn't matter. So people are at different levels of how they actually feel during this unknown time. But I think we have to remember that, you know, the planet's healing. A lot of people are finding joy in some more of the serenity. So if you've been hooked on a substance prior to the pandemic, it might have been even harder for you. But maybe the blessing is you are hitting a bit more rock bottom and you're ready for help. So I think we need to be open to all the places where people are on their own journey. And Kathleen, is there anything else that they shared or any point that you want to bring up or ask me?
Well, I mean, I think that it's important to understand that, you know, this is just kind of another bump in the road, right? This is life kind of throws these things at you. And this is a big thing that it's thrown at all of us that we've really never encountered. But this is another one of those stressors that we have to figure out how to deal with in our lives and decide, you know, do I have a problem with my favorite substance or not? And I think it's, you know, like you said, it might encourage people to make their lives better, make their homes more peaceful, to put their affairs in order because they've gone through this really eye-opening time.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. And I think the one thing that we have to all need to remember, because I think, let's just talk about the pandemic just a little bit, because we talked about pandemic addiction. I think that what the pandemic's done for all of us is made us feel this sense of unknown and also question, what's my greater purpose? What's this all about? So I think it's almost like a group existential crisis. Mm. And in kind of Eastern thought, the word crisis also can be changed into opportunity. And so I always like to talk about the series that my patients go through with Crisis, Stabilization, and Thrive. And I think that applies to all of us as humanity right now. Some of us are working less, making less money. Some of us are having more domestic violence. Some people are actually, their business is booming, they're thriving. And so we're all at different pathways of that crisis, stabilization, and thrive. And I think that we need to remember that we're kind of part of the human condition right now, and that we can reach out to one another. I mean, even if it's not in person as much because of some temporary social distancing, right? We need to get creative. Like I do these audio messages. I'm kind of famous for that on my text messages. If you're my friend, you might hear my voice. And one of my patients today was like, oh, I loved hearing your voice. Or, you know, I know you and I as colleagues and friends have done FaceTime. I think we need to get creative with our connectivity, because so much of addiction has to do with loneliness, like we discussed. But that's something that's important for all of us as human beings. So is there any tip you want to share, or anything that you thought that we missed, Kath?
No, I don't think we missed anything. I think that, you know, it goes back to that quote of, you know, addiction is really a disease of loneliness. And, you know, there's sometimes you have to push yourself not to be lonely. You have to reach out, or in, you know, or if you're saying I have a problem, you have to, you know, shame is tough. And I give everyone, including myself, you know, a lot of energy to deal with shame, because it's not easy, but you can do it. We can do it.
Absolutely. And thank you for letting us know what's going on in your neck of the woods. And I'm really hopeful, because I have quite a few people right now that have chosen sobriety during this unimaginable time of the pandemic. I have people that are now gone from being suicidal to not being suicidal. So I want to offer people hope that I've seen people get through their crisis and literally do things you couldn't even imagine. So when you are in crisis, it's a time to channel that energy and find out what else is in store. And, you know, don't forget, I'm going to put links to numbers you can call. You're not alone. And Kathleen, thank you for sharing this time. And everyone, thank you. We'll be back soon. Thank you.